The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What a joy it is to be here to worship with you as we enter the season of hope.
Today is the beginning of a new season. Advent is a word that means to come. It is a time when we get ready, preparing ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus first came when he was born on Christmas Day. In this season, we prepare for his coming again. This is the first Sunday in Advent. Today, we light one purple candle. The traditional color for Advent is purple, which refers to the coming of the royal King, Jesus Christ. This is the candle of hope. We light this candle to remind us that we wait in hope for the day when we celebrate again the birth of Jesus. We hope that everyone will come to know God and worship him.
Shall be first, and the weak shall be strong, and my
Would you join me in the call to worship? Advent summons us with the exuberant hopefulness of a child. Advent holds us spellbound with childlike wonder. Advent challenges us to care for the littlest child. Advent amazes us, for God was made known in a tiny child. Let's pray together. Gracious God, your vision of peace and wholeness comes to us in sweeping revelations and in tiny signs of hope. Kindle our hearts that we might be a hopeful people. Keep us from growing weary of waiting, lest we miss the glory of your appearing. Even so, come quickly, O God. Amen. Prepare the way of the Lord. Let us make our confession to God. God of unending mercy, we are a people who are often without regard for others. Your never-ceasing love surrounds us. Your great compassion embraces us, but we take these gifts for granted. Open our eyes to the wonders of creation. Tune our ears to the cries for love in a lonely world. Fill our hearts with a faith that is revealed in action. This we pray in the name of the one who never ceases to come. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news. We come with things we can't fix and stories we can't rewrite. But Advent reminds us that God doesn't wait for us to find our way back. He comes to us. In Jesus, the true servant, who was pierced for us, God has already done what we could never do. He takes what is broken and he begins something new. And the mark on your life is not your failure, but the Holy Spirit, the quiet sign that you belong to him. So hear this clearly. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, you are welcomed, and you are held in grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Today we have three scripture readings, all from the New International Version. The first is from Deuteronomy 15, 12 to 17, freeing servants. If any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let them go free. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Give to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. But if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. Do the same for your female servant. The second scripture is from Philippians 2:5-11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our last reading is from Ephesians 1:13-14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Imagine a man standing in the doorway of his home that's not his own. His hands are rough, his clothes are worn, his eyes carry the weight of years. 6 long years ago, he entered this home not by choice, but by necessity. He had accumulated debts he could not pay. His poor decisions and harsh circumstances had left him trapped. The law was clear: work for 6 years to pay the debt that you owe. This wasn't romantic servanthood. This was bondage born of brokenness. For 6 long years, he has labored, not because he chose to, but because he had to. 6 years of working off what he owed, 6 years of paying for past failures, 6 years under the roof of another. But today is different. Today, finally, his debt is paid. Today, he's free. According to the law of Moses, in the 7th year, he may go. He's worked off what he owed. He may gather his things and walk away. He may return to his own land, his own people, his own future. He can stand again on his own 2 feet and be his own master. And yet, he doesn't move. He stands in the threshold. He doesn't rush out the door. He doesn't start talking about his plans. He hesitates. Because over these 6 years of forced service, something unexpected has happened. In this household, even as a debt servant, he experienced fairness. He experienced provision. He experienced a master who was good. He thinks back to the life that got him here, the poor choices, the mounting debts, the desperation that drove him into servitude, the loneliness of trying to manage a life alone. And now, standing at freedom's door, a deeper realization forms. It was my independence that broke me. It was trying to be my own master that led to bondage. But here, serving a good master, I found stability I never had on my own. Freedom, he realizes, is not the same thing as independence. Being your own master isn't the same as flourishing. Sometimes our freedom leads us right back into chains. And so, in a moment both surprising and profound, this servant, now free, makes an astonishing choice. I choose to stay. I choose this household. I choose you. Notice, he couldn't make this choice until his debt was paid. Only free people can choose to serve. Only those released from obligation can choose belonging. Then, as the Deuteronomy passage from today describes, he receives a mark, a piercing at the doorpost. It's small, but it changes everything. It says, I'm no longer here by obligation. I'm no longer here by choice. I belong to this household forever. And here is where hope begins. Not in independence, but in chosen belonging to someone good. Hope begins when you know who you are. This moment in Deuteronomy isn't just ancient history. It's a preview of the entire gospel story. Because in Genesis, humanity makes a tragic choice. Adam and Eve choose independence from God. They choose to be their own masters. They choose to define good and evil for themselves. They reject the goodness of serving their Creator. And immediately, everything breaks. Fear replaces trust. Shame replaces openness. Hiding replaces fellowship. Power and greed shatter relationships. Humanity wanted to be like God and ended up enslaved to sin. We thought independence would make us free. Instead, it made us debtors. Every human since has inherited this debt. We are born into bondage we didn't choose, owing what we cannot pay, serving masters that destroy us. Sin, death, fear, shame. And here's the brutal truth. Unlike that Deuteronomy servant who could work 6 years and go free, we can work forever and never pay the debt that we owe. The debt of sin is beyond our ability to settle. But here's the good news. God doesn't leave us in bondage. The entire Old Testament is a story of a God who keeps saying, "I will pay your debt. I will bring you home. I will make you mine. You will belong to me." And that promise, this impossible promise of debt paid and freedom restored, finds its fulfillment in Jesus. Back in August, the last time I spoke here, we explored the theme, when God shows up, he never gives up. Now, Advent shows us something even more astonishing. When God shows up, he comes as the servant Messiah who pays our debt and brings hope. Jesus doesn't come as a king demanding service and slavish obedience. He comes as the servant who serves. He comes as the Messiah, the anointed one, promised to bring wholeness. Our passage of scripture from Philippians 2 says, "Who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Now, the interesting thing here is that the word for servant in this passage of scripture is doulos, bondservant, debt servant, the exact same word as what was used in our reading in Deuteronomy. But here's the difference. The Deuteronomy servant was in bondage because of his debts. Jesus enters bondage to pay our debts. The Deuteronomy servant worked 6 years to earn freedom. Jesus offers us freedom we could never earn. Jesus shows us what this new created order looks like. It's not about asserting independence. It's about choosing dependence on the Father. It's not about being your own master. It's about serving the one who is good. Watch what Jesus does. He chooses humility over power. He chooses obedience over autonomy. He chooses the Father's will over his own comfort. He chooses the cross over a crown. And here's the stunning parallel. In Deuteronomy, the servant was pierced at the doorpost as a sign of chosen belonging. At Passover in Exodus, blood was placed on the doorpost as a sign of protection from death. On Calvary, Jesus was pierced on a wooden cross, the ultimate doorpost, his blood marking us as God's own forever. The Deuteronomy servant was pierced for his own belonging. Jesus was pierced for ours. Jesus' marks, his scars, were not the marks of defeat. They were the marks of debt paid. They were the receipt of our redemption. They are the proof of purchase that says, "These ones are mine, paid in full." After the resurrection, Jesus keeps these scars. He shows them to Thomas as if to say, "This is how much it cost to bring you home. Your debt is paid. You're free. Now, choose to belong to me." If the Deuteronomy servant was marked to show his belonging, and Jesus was marked to secure our belonging, the New Testament reveals something extraordinary. When we choose to become part of Jesus' forever household, we are marked with the Holy Spirit. And this mark is both internal and external. Our scripture from Ephesians 1 says, "When you believed, you were marked in him, a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit in guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession." Paul says the Holy Spirit does two things. First, the Spirit is our internal deposit. It's a down payment that guarantees our future, the proof that we belong to God's household, the source of hope that dwells up within us. This is why we can have hope even in darkness. The Spirit inside us is the guarantee that God will finish what he started. Second, the Spirit produces external fruit. And here's what's crucial. This fruit is visible to the world around us. Galatians chapter 5 tells us what this patience, or what this looks like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This isn't hidden spirituality. This is public evidence. Think about it, St. Stephen's. When someone walks into our Thursday community lunch, when they see 150 people being served with dignity, when they witness the patience in the serving line, kindness in the conversation, joy despite circumstances, they are seeing the mark of the Spirit. When our community sees us choosing to gather week after week, choosing to belong to each other, choosing to serve rather than to be served, they are seeing what the kingdom looks like. The Spirit's mark isn't just for our own comfort. It's for the world's witness. People should be able to tell at a distance. They belong to someone good. These ones are marked by love. These ones carry hope. They didn't manufacture. The ancient world knew about the visible marks of ownership. Slaves were branded. Soldiers bore tattoos of their legion. Citizens carried seal rings. But our mark is different. It's the transformed life. It's the unexplained peace. It's the irrational hope. It's the ridiculous generosity. It's the impossible forgiveness. The world sees that fruit and knows these people belong to a different master. So all of this brings us to Advent. Advent begins in honesty about our bondage. We are not free. We are not whole. Our debts we cannot pay. We live in a world where wars continue, relationships shatter, bodies fall, loved ones die, questions go unanswered. Advent doesn't pretend otherwise. But into this darkness, into this bondage, into this debt we cannot pay, we have lit a single candle and declare, "Hope is born." Not because we've worked our way to freedom, not because we've paid what we owe, not because we've finally gotten life under control. Hope is born because God has shown up in Jesus to pay our debt. God is showing up now by his Spirit to mark us as his own. God will show up again to heal what's broken and complete what he started. The candle doesn't erase the darkness. It announces that darkness is not the end of the story. We light the candle as people who have been set free, not by our own efforts, but by the servant Messiah who chose the cross. We light the candle as people marked by the Spirit, carrying both the internal positive hope and the external evidence of transformation. We light the candle as those who have chosen belonging, not because we have to, not because we have been set free to choose. We choose the household of God. So, on this Sunday of Advent, as we have lit the candle of hope, I offer you an invitation. Not an invitation to try harder, not an invitation to work off your debts, not an invitation to prove your worth, but an invitation like the one being given to the freed servant, an invitation to choose belonging. You see, the good news of Jesus is this: your debt has already been paid. Christ has already been pierced for you. You are already free. The only question is, will you choose to belong? Will you choose to stay in the household of God? Not because you have to, you don't. Not because you owe it, the debt is paid. But because you have discovered that the master of this house is good. The mark you receive is not a pierced ear. It is the Holy Spirit filling you with hope, transforming you with love, marking you visibly as God's own. And so, as we begin Advent together, I invite you to make this prayer your own. Jesus, I cannot pay my debt, but you already have. I cannot earn my freedom, but you freely give it. I choose to belong to you. Mark me with your Holy Spirit. Let your hope be born in me, and let the world see it. When God shows up, debts are paid, freedom is given, and hope is born. Amen.
Loving God, let us pray. Advent begins today, and it is a time of anticipation, waiting, and particularly hope. There is much that we can hope for, and in that context, we can pray for it. Loving God, we pray for healing of wounds that have been scraped raw by angry words, rejection, not only by others, but by ourselves, by bitterness and unforgiveness. We pray for actions of reconciliation by family members and with family members, community members, and by countries. We pray for folk to be filled with respect for nature, to recognize our stewardship of repair rather than destruction towards both flora and fauna. Help us to consistently look at the ramifications of our actions before taking action in all situations. We pray for gratitude, that we may appreciate your goodness, kindness, and compassion in all of our actions towards others. We pray for the hope of transformation that Jesus offers by showing us the way forward. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
For all the ways that you support ministry here at St. Stephen's, we thank you. And I ask you now to pray with me over all the gifts that have been given this week. Accept, O God, this money offered, these gifts given, the goodwill of our hearts, that disappointment may be turned to hope and worry may be turned to anticipation as we await with wonder the birth of Christ. Amen.
People of God, this is the hope of Advent. It is not optimism, it is not wishful thinking, and it's not pretending that the darkness isn't real. Advent hope is this: God has come, God is coming, and God will come again. The candle does not remove the darkness. It declares that darkness has not won, because hope himself has stepped into the world. So as you go, hear this blessing. Whatever you cannot fix or make right, you do not climb your way to God. God has come to you. He comes to make good. He comes to make new, to mark you with his Holy Spirit, and to bring you into his household of hope. May hope, Jesus himself, go before you, go with you, and be born in you again this week. Amen.